Many folks in this life, including Christians, sad to say, are caught in a sin cycle. A sin cycle. They are caught on an addiction merry-go-round that just keeps going round and round and round. They've got a habit, and they just keep the habit. They don't do anything about it. They just keep acting like it's not there, and they just keep going around and around in circles in their addiction. This cycle is like being lost on some forgotten road. You know that you don't want to be there, but you can't seem to find your way out, and every exit that you try to find, every way out that you think is a way out, is just another series of winding roads that end up in the wrong direction. Addiction is characterized by the repeated use of a substance or a behavior despite clear evidence that it is detrimental to your soul, to your health, and to your relationships, and or to your relationships. Addiction is a powerful force that takes hold first of your mind, and then your body, and then ultimately your very soul, the soul of those who get caught up in it. When we think of addiction, and this is the sad thing, now follow me. When we think of an addiction, most of us immediately think of the person who is on heroin or cocaine, maybe an alcoholic who staggers out of the bar, gets into a car, and then kills some innocent person on his way home. And that's what we think of an addiction and the damage that it can do. But there are many more addictions than those three. Of course, there's alcohol. And there's illegal drugs, but there's also legal drugs. Oxycontin and oxycodone and on, a big list of legal drugs that people can get on, pain relievers, that they get on and then they can't get off. They find out they have to have it. There's smoking. There's compulsive gambling. There's the habitual overeating. There's habitual undereating and eating disorders. There's overspending and the compulsive credit card charging. There's pornography. There's immorality. There's the addiction of cutting of your skin that some have, especially teenage girls. Some sources on the topic of addiction add other addictions to this list, including gossips who they, as I read after them, they wrote, those who know that they are ruining lives and tainting other people's reputations and breaking friendships, but they can't stop talking. Or overworkers who know that their family needs them at home, but sacrifices everything for their career and their money machine. There's habitual anger. There's caffeine on the lighter side. There's conflict. There's those who are addicted to having conflict. They're not happy unless there's something torn up, ripped up. There's those who are addicted to TV or a computer. There are many, many other addictions that we could name. We have all of these addictions in our community and some of them in our church. Those who used to be in control to do whatever they wanted to get hooked and lose control and become enslaved to their addiction. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Then they live a life of bondage, in bondage. They're caught in the sin cycle. Paul warned us about what sin will do to us and for us. He said that we're Christians now, and we ought to have another view of sin. Romans 6 and verse 2. Shall we continue in sin, now that grace abounds? In verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Skip down to verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. These are commands to those who are addicted to anything. We need not to give in to that addiction, and we can be free, and there is hope. In verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Or in other words, there's sufficient grace to go around for you to have victory over whatever it is that you're addicted to. In verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Written to Christians now, we need to be careful who we're obeying. God doesn't want you to sin or start the bondage cycle. But if you are in an addiction cycle, there is good news. There is hope for you. If you're in an addiction cycle, you can break the cycle. Or more correctly, God can break the cycle if you'll let Him. Every addict can be delivered and permanently set free. Today we want to look at the addiction cycle and how it works. And I want to preach on, is there really hope for me to overcome my addiction? The addiction cycle and how it works. It's not just any higher power that's going to help you. It's the God of the Bible, our Creator, the Father of Jesus Christ, who will help you to break the cycle of addiction that you may have allowed in your life. Now look with me at our text in Judges chapter 3. Go back to Judges chapter 3. At least seven times during the book of Judges, Israel experienced a five-point sin cycle. A five-point sin cycle. It all started with sin. In Judges 3 and verse 7, I have 5 points. Number one, sin. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now listen, there's nobody that has a habit that didn't start by doing something that he knew was wrong, but he did it anyway. He knew in his senses, you know what, this probably is not good for me. Or somebody had taught him in the past, you know, you shouldn't do that. Almost everybody starts their addiction that way. And they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and that's what we do to get started. And forgot the Lord, their God, and served Balaam in the groves. It's something that we know is not right, but we do it anyway. That's step one in the sin cycle. Step number two. Verse 8. There's the cause of the addiction. And then we have the slavery that comes, or the bondage, the addiction that sets in. In verse 8. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And watch this now. And He sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. When we give ourselves to sin, God sometimes allows us to have our way. Yes, sir? He says, okay. Well, you want to go that way. Let's just see what happens when you go that way. And He lets us have our way, and the bondage of the sin begins to set in. There is an addiction or an enslavement that sets in. Bondage is like being an animal in a cage. You may want to do something else, but your cravings keep you bound and locked up. And the craving and the slavery could last for years. Here it lasted for Israel. They stayed in bondage for 8 years. If you have an addiction this morning, how long have you been in bondage? Don't you think as a Christian it's time you're coming out? Don't you think there should be a time of deliverance? Now, I want to encourage you. There is hope. There's hope. You can be delivered from the bondage of an addiction. Thirdly, five steps, we're on three. We're doing pretty good. Sin first, so that's where it all starts. Then slavery or the bondage, the addiction sets in. The third step in the addiction cycle is supplication in verse 9. Here is where we are so oppressed and so beat down, so discouraged with our bondage, that we finally cry out to God. in verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Do you see that? They cried unto the Lord. Now there are two keys in crying out to the Lord that will bring deliverance. There are two keys in crying out that will bring you deliverance. Number one, cry out to the right source of help. Cry out to the right source. Notice that Israel did not ask the government or the public for help. They cried out to the Lord. And God sent Othniel to deliver Israel from their bondage. The public has a group that's tried to help alcoholics, has helped the alcoholics. Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, was founded in 1935. And from that model of Alcoholics Anonymous has evolved all that their children groups. There's NA, which stands for Narcotics Anonymous, founded in the late 40s. There's GA, Gamblers Anonymous, founded in 1957. There's DA, Debtors Anonymous, for the overspenders, founded in 1968. There's OA, Overeaters Anonymous, which is all over the world. There's Vulgarity Anonymous, Marijuana Anonymous, Methadone Anonymous, Cats Addicts Anonymous, Messies Anonymous, and on the list goes of all of these spin-offs of AA. AA and their sister programs instruct folks to follow a 12-step program. All of them, if you look them up, just about every one of them have 12 steps and so forth. And to trust the higher power, whatever or whoever it may be. Now, we know as Bible believers that there are two higher powers. One higher power is Satan. And the other one is the God of the Bible who had the Son, Jesus Christ. You have to say that whole phrase anymore, or else people start saying, like some of our politicians, that the God of the Christian and the God of the Muslim is the same God. They are not the same God. Allah never had a son. So I clarify again, the God of the Bible who had a son, Jesus. And those are the two higher powers. And these two higher powers have vastly different goals for us. Turn with me to John chapter 10 and you'll find that. I don't know if any of you can affect this, but shut the air conditioning off if you can. I'm standing higher than everybody else. It's warmer up here than anywhere else. And it's freezing. John 10:10. The thief, which is pointing to the devil, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, there is the devil's goal. There's the devil's goal for you. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. That's the higher power of the devil, his goal for you. Steal, kill, and destroy. That doesn't sound very nice. That's not my best friend. Or at least it shouldn't be. I, on the other hand, this is Christ talking, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's exactly what an addiction does in your life. The addiction is Satan in control of you. It's you giving over a portion of your life to Satan's control so that he can steal, kill, and destroy you. That's what an addiction is. That's the higher power that you've given into if you have an addiction. But Christ, on the other hand, wants to give you abundant life. He always wants to help you. He wants to bring you out. He wants to give you freedom from that bondage. And there is hope in Christ to live addiction free. Your future doesn't have to be one defeat and one bondage after another. Christ offers you hope and abundant life. But you better identify clearly the higher power that you want help from. Ask for the God of the Bible who had a son, Jesus, for that hope. The other key, make sure you've got the right source. The other key in your crying out that will bring deliverance is don't wait to cry out Do it now. Don't wait. You're not going to be delivered by putting it off. Turn over with me to Exodus chapter 8. How long are you going to allow yourself to be crippled by this addiction? I don't know if it's drinking, smoking, or one of these other addictions that I mentioned earlier. How long are you going to let yourself continue to be hornswoggled into having this addiction? You don't have to for another day. You can be set free and start freedom living today. How long will you put up with it? One day in Egypt, Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. And so Moses told him that the Lord was going to pour out frogs all over the land. That's right, that wasn't a mistake. Frogs that would overrun the land, including into their bedrooms and into their microwaves and their bread machines. I mean, all over the place. The Bible actually says bedchambers and ovens and kneading troughs. But in our day, those will be the words. And so the frogs, I'm sure, because of the frogs, they canceled the ball games. And because of the frogs, they said, wow, I don't want to go to the grocery store. There's frogs in every aisle. I don't know where they've been or what I'm getting here. And frogs on the highway, everywhere they went, frogs in the windshield, frogs in the car, out of the car, they didn't have cars, in the chariot, out of the chariot, or whatever they had, wagon. The frogs were like our addictions. Everywhere you go, you're plagued by the bondage, by the addiction that you have. Everywhere you go. So Pharaoh asked Moses and Aaron to beg the Lord to remove the frogs. Hey, Pharaoh is crying out to God in his bondage. That's what he's doing. He's following this third step of crying out to God for bondage. And he wants Moses to cry out to the Lord. He's got the right one to cry out to. But I want you to notice when he wanted him to cry out to the Lord to be delivered from the bondage of these frogs. Notice it in verse 8. Exodus 8 and verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me. That's the right thing to do right there. And from my people. It's a cry for deliverance, in other words. And I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and from and thy house, that they may remain in the river only? When? When do you want me to pray this prayer, Pharaoh? Here's the amazing reply that he got in verse 10. And he said, tomorrow. Why? All these frogs overrunning the land and your house and in your closet and in your dresser drawers and everywhere where your clothes are and everywhere your food is and everywhere that you are, all of these frogs. And he says, mañana? He says, I'll endure and allow the pain and the torture and the discomfort to my loved ones, to my countrymen, one more night? Why? Why would he put up with that? He could have told Moses, right now! And Moses would have prayed and God would have killed the frogs and got them out of his hair. And he could have been delivered from the frogs right then and there. But he said, I don't mind crying out, but I'll wait till tomorrow. Cry out tomorrow. We'll put up with it one more day. Now don't be too hard on Pharaoh. Because this procrastination of crying out to God for deliverance from something is being repeated by Christians who are in bondage to some addiction in our day. It's being repeated over and over again, see. I want to have deliverance over. I want to get victory over this. Preacher, you pray for me that I'll get deliverance over it. When do you want deliverance over it? Well, maybe next week. Maybe Wednesday of this week. Maybe tomorrow, maybe later today. It's never at the time. Never at the time. There's only hope for us if we're willing to say right now. Right now. Today, not tomorrow. A lot of otherwise good people have agreed to get help tomorrow. The next day comes. Tomorrow finally comes. And say, are you ready now? Well, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, I'm getting real close. Tomorrow, maybe. Tomorrow comes, the next day comes, and they say, are you ready now? Well, I don't know. I don't quite feel like I did on Sunday. And maybe. Maybe this Sunday, preacher. And you see, we never get there. And that's one of the tricks of the enemy. The enemy wants us to stop and just keep putting it off. But God wants to give us deliverance right now. There's hope for us. We can be free if we cry out to the right source. That's the God of the Bible. And if we do it right now, we can be free today. We can have help today. You don't have to wait to be delivered from it. Go over to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, James rebukes this matter of procrastination, this idea of putting off, the idea of thinking that I'll do something tomorrow. And borrowing from tomorrow. He says in James 4:13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You have plans for tomorrow. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is thin. Our life is a fleeting thing. It's like you ever boil water over a stove and you get this cloud over the vapor over the top, but it's not long and it dissipates. It's gone. That's just like your life and mine. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. And so we need to do what we're going to do today. In verse 16, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to have, yes, sir, I'm going to get over this. I'm going to have victory over this addiction. Yes, sir, I am. I'm going to be free from this bondage tomorrow. And don't rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When you know what you ought to do, you need to act on it now. You don't need to act on it tomorrow or plan to act on it tomorrow. You may not do it tomorrow. You need to do it today. If you're addicted to something in your life, I want to ask you, have you reached this step to cry out? The children of Israel reached the step to cry out to the Lord. We're going to find some wonderful things happen when they cried out to the Lord. But you've got to get to this step in the addiction. This is where you're finally willing to admit that what you've done is really sin. It's really from Satan. You are willing to take responsibility for it. You are sick of it enough to cry out to the higher power who has your good in mind. And that higher power is the God of the Bible. Now, again, have you done that yet? Are you at that stage? Have you cried out? You see, there's no hope until you cry out. You can talk about it all you want till you're blue in the face. Your wife or husband doesn't believe it for a minute until you take steps and cry out to God to do something about it. There is no deliverance. If you promise to do it tomorrow, forget it. But as soon as you cry out to God, you watch what happens. You could start to have relief. Start to have relief this very day, if you want it, if you'll cry out to God. There is hope for those with addictions who will cry out to God. All right, number four. In Judges chapter 3 and verse 9. Judges 3 and verse 9. This is right after they cried out to the Lord. In verse 9, and when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, notice what happens now, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, that was the judge who delivered them, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. When they cried to the Lord for help, He heard their cry. He'll hear your cry. And He sent them a deliverer for them in their state of bondage. Abundant life was on the way because they cried out to the right source, and they did it today. And friend, that's what you need to do. You cry out to the Lord for help and deliverance. He wants to help you. Now, there are two levels of deliverance that He brings. I want to show you this in verse number 9. First, He wants to save your soul from hell. If that's not taken care of first, then you need to take care of it. And you do that, you ask the Lord, you cry out to the Lord, and the Lord sends a deliverer to deliver them. That's what the Bible says. He raised up a deliverer, and God has raised up a deliverer to save your soul. You don't have to go to hell. He raised up a deliverer, His only Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and was raised again the third day. He raised up a deliverer for your soul. He raised up a deliverer so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Now, you can be saved by coming to Christ, coming to God through Christ. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, you can receive the Savior, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When He saves us, He changes our destination. After this life, He changes our destination from hell to heaven, and He adopts us into His family. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received Him, received Christ, to them gave He power to become the, listen to this now, sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Here is the adoption into the family. We become His children. But He will not impose Himself on our heart. He is waiting for you to open up your heart and by faith receive Him as Savior. As we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That, listen, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to deliver you in two ways. First, if you're not saved, He wants to deliver your soul from the effects of sin, from the power and the bondage of sin. He wants to deliver your soul from hell so that you can have the free gift of eternal life. He'll make a reservation in heaven for you so that when you lay your head on a pillow at night, you know, everything's all right between you and God. I wonder today, if you're here without Christ, will you cry out to God for your soul and for salvation? Because He would grant you that salvation. He's waiting to give you salvation. Not only did He answer Israel's prayer, but He promises to answer your prayer for salvation. In Romans 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's not going to turn you away. Nobody will call out to God and say, God, I want to be saved through Jesus Christ, your Son. And God says, I'm sorry. You should have done that last week. You can't be saved today. God never does that. Oh, God's a wonderful God. God's very patient with us. But now when the rapture takes place, then it will be too late. When you breathe your last breath, then it will be too late. There is a deadline. But today, you still have freedom to receive Christ as your Savior, and you should do it. Secondly, He wants to deliver you from your bondage of addiction. In verse 9 again, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them. Again, we see in verse 9 that He delivered them from their bondage, and He wants to do the same for us from our bondage. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. On another occasion, when Israel had gone into the bondage of Egypt, he had cried out to God they had cried out to God, He did what He loves to do. He delivered them. Exodus 3 and verse 7. He began to deliver them here. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Or in other words, they cried out. They cried out now. They cried out to the right source, to the Lord. And the Lord heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and so forth. Now, are you unsure of heaven? Then God wants to deliver your soul and save you. Are you still in bondage to a habit or an addiction? Then God is waiting to hear your cry for help to deliver you. Cry out to God. Name the area of the bondage that you've gotten into and tell Him that you want to be set free. And He will set you free. The addiction cycle begins with sin, which leads to an addiction or a bondage, a slavery. And when we cry unto God, that's supplicate, then God brings deliverance, salvation, to us. And the final point in the cycle is back in Judges chapter 3 and verse 11. When God delivers, He gives rest or peace. Silence is the point. The final point of the cycle is silence. In Judges 3 and verse 11, and the land had rest 40 years. Praise God. That deliverance from bondage lasted. He delivered them from 8 years of bondage, and the freedom lasted a good long while. Well, you have to maintain your deliverance. God sets you free. But you can't go taking in more demons and opening the door for more demons to come. You can't keep your peace and keep running back to Egypt. Keep running with the old crowd that used to do the old things. You can't keep your deliverance and give in again to that sin, or you'll start that cycle all over again. You have to have some determination to stay free, to maintain your deliverance. But as long as you do, you can have rest, peace. I'm free. Wonderful way of living is to live free. You can enjoy freedom from bondage every single day. That's why we have Reformers Unanimous. We call it RU. Every Friday night at 7 o'clock, these folks meet. And it's to help those who are in any bondage to any addiction to find God's relief and then to learn the Bible principles that will help them to maintain deliverance, the deliverance that God gave them. If you need more help, you join the RU family on Friday night. They'd love to have you, and you'll find some support there, but you'll also find direction from the Word of God. And that's what God will do for you. Therefore, you must know this morning that there is hope if you have an addiction. That hope is in the God of the Bible who had a Son, Jesus Christ, whenever you are willing to cry out to Him. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there hope for me and to overcome my addiction? Oh, there most certainly is. Maybe this morning you need to cry out to God. You need to cry out for a salvation of your eternal soul. You've never received Christ as your Savior, but you want to. You see your need to. You say, Preacher, I want to cry out today and have Christ save my soul. I want to be one who receives Him, who believes on Him. I want to know that my name is written in heaven one day when I die. Would you pray for me? Could I see your hand? Is there somebody like that in this crowd today? Maybe an ambassador, 55 and older, or maybe a young person? maybe a teenager, you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Let me see your hand. Maybe you have a bondage and you're stuck in a cycle of addiction over and over again and you can't seemingly get out of it. But you could see that you could get out of it, and it starts by crying out to the God of the Bible. See, you've got to want to be free badly enough that you will cry out to God and that you're willing to cry out today. Who will say, "Preacher, I am ready for God's deliverance. I will not be like Pharaoh and say, I'll wait one more day. I don't want the frogs, and I don't want this addiction. I want to be free from this starting today. I am serious about it, so serious that I want to start today for God to begin to deliver me from it." Could I see your hand? I am serious, preacher. Three, four hands. Are there others? You may put them down. Are there others? There's no day like the present. You're not serious at all if you're not serious today. All talk is nothing but talk. It's procrastination unless you're willing to do it today. God is waiting to do it for you. But you've got to cry out to Him. Could I see your hand if you'd say, "Preacher, I want it, and I want it badly, and I'll cry out today." Let me see your hand. Someone? Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these whose hearts you've touched, that they want to be free, and they want to be free right now. I pray, Heavenly Father, that there would be more in this congregation that would get such a glimpse of Your holiness and Your willingness that they too would want to be free and want to be freed today. I pray that You will start these who've raised their hands and others on the path of freedom today, deliverance today, because they cried out to You. Let the pattern be broken, the cycle be broken today, by their crying out. And we give to You all praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray.